I'm Mike Salem. It is a privilege to share with you my dad, Pastor Salem's biblical teachings each week, and we are always thrilled to hear from our viewers. Thank you for connecting with us. A viewer from Idaho writes, I love your program. I am 79 and disabled with health issues. Jesus has been my best friend since I was 10. Your preaching gives me hope. I live alone, but always have Jesus. Please pray for me. If you would like our team to pray for you, simply go to our website at cwh.org and submit your request on our encouragement tab, or you may call or write to us. We are committed to lift you up in prayer. In Dad's message today, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, Dad highlights the seventh and final cry by Jesus on the cross. We hope it will be of encouragement to you. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy for weekends because that means we get to meet you and get to see you again and worship with you. And all around the world, all over the world, we're all worshiping together at the same time, and we're all gathering around the feet of Jesus. And someday it's going to be for real, and we're going to see him, and we're going to see him personally. And there'll be no glass between. We won't be seeing him dimly. We'll see him in all of his beauty and see God and all of our loved ones. Can't hardly wait. But until then, we're going to carry on. And we're going to look at Psalm 86 today. And the opening verses where the psalmist writes, Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're such a wonderful God, and that you do forgive, you're ready to forgive, and you're plenteous in mercy. And so we just call upon you, and lean upon you, and put all we have in your arms and your keeping. And you know, we know you'll never fail us and never let us down. So in this service today, Lord, may we help many come to know you. May we give that message of hope that they can have their sins forgiven and their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then, Lord, there's some that are weary today, and some are lonely, and some are downhearted, and some just lost their closest on earth to them, and their heart is aching. But you love us, and you'll help us if we lean on you. So we turn all eyes on Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Jan's going to sing about that wonderful God. Somebody loves me.
Work for us.
Well, thank you, Jan. And isn't that wonderful news? And that's why I love to preach about Jesus. He loves us. And maybe not many people love you. I don't know. I don't have a very long list, I don't think. And there's some people, they don't even love themselves because they think of their sins and they think of how they've failed the Lord and they feel that they're hopeless and that God never forgive them. Well, that's the good news. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves us. That's why he went to the cross. God so loved the world. That's how much he loved us. He loved us so much that God gave his son. The Father gave his son. Jesus gave his life. And not only that, he did something that's harder than giving his life. He took all the sins of the world into his pure, holy body. And that's why he sweat, as it were, drops of blood when he was in Gethsemane. He was taking the sins of the world upon himself. And so somebody loves me. You bet somebody loves you. Jesus does. And you just go to him and he'll never turn you away. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You don't know anybody that came to Jesus and he turned them away. There's many I've seen in my ministry of 73 years now. I've seen people turn Jesus away, but I've never seen Jesus turn anybody away. And I've seen some pretty bad sinners, and I've been one of them, and he never turned me away. He washed me clean in the blood of the Lamb, and he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and he baptized me with the Holy Spirit, and he put me into the body of Christ. And what does he do? He made me a child of God and a joint heirs with Christ. I'm as rich as Christ. Can you believe that? So you got to have Jesus. And you say, I want Jesus. I want to right now. I don't want to even wait till the end of the sermon. All right, let's just do it right now. You want Jesus into your life. You're a terrible sinner. Well, he says that he will no wise cast out. Anybody comes to him, he'll receive you. And so you just go to Jesus and you just say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. I've sinned against you. I'm sorry for my sins. And dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And then you pray, and I will give my life to you. I'll serve you the best I can. You can't keep living the old dirty way. You got to give your life to Jesus, start living for Jesus. And then you thank him in Jesus' name. And if you do that, you're a child of God. You say, well, I don't feel any different. You don't need to. You're just a child of God, that's all. And when I remember when they told me I was an American citizen. I didn't know that. I don't know how old I was in country school. And they says, well, you were born an American citizen. You're an American citizen. Well, I didn't know that. Well, I don't feel any different. Like they say on your birthday, do you feel a year older? No, I feel about 10 years older. Something might say that, but feelings don't have a thing to do with it. It's a transaction. It's an agreement. And he agrees. God agrees. If you confess your sins, I'll forgive your sins. That's it. So you just do it. Well, let's see. We got some letters here. Got to share some letters. Oh, thank you for writing. And I hope more of you will write, and we'd like to hear from you. And get your pencil and paper ready, because when I get done here a little bit, I'm going to give my address. And, oh, just join the gang writing to us. And then when you write to us, of course, maybe you could send us a little gift or something like that, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And we don't get by on our good looks or our old age or anything. We just have to pay our way. And we want to pay our way. Jesus isn't a beggar for anybody. Well, here's Motesville, West Virginia. I'm an 84-year-old widow who now lives with my 88-year-old brother who became a widower a year ago. Now, listen to this. He was raised on a farm and he can't even boil an egg for himself. That's a sister for you. No joke, that is true. We listened to your program every Saturday at 5 p.m. He kept after me, wanted to send you some money. Well, we finally got it done. May God continue to bless you. He is certainly good to us. Well, now this fella, he might be dumb for boiling an egg, but he's smart enough to know we need some money to carry on. So I'm all for him. And he says his sister, she's worrying about he can't learn to boil an egg, and he's worrying because his sister doesn't send in some money. And so you need both of them, but we really need your help. And for 39 years, we have no income but God's people. We're not underwritten by any organization or some rich guy. You know, these politicians, they always have some rich guy behind them somewhere doling out the tons of money. We don't have any, no secrets like that. And so you got to help us. If you want this to go on, you have to help us. Here's Bloomington, Illinois. Christian Worship Hour and your weekly program has helped me to understand much more about Jesus. Thank you for being there. And I'll tell you the secret, how we're teaching her to know more about Jesus. We preach the Bible. That's it. Just preach the Bible. And the Bible's filled with Jesus. And in the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus wasn't born in the Old Testament, but he's in there by shadow and by form and all over the place. And so, yes, we can tell you about Jesus because we have the Bible. Otherwise, we'd be in the dark with you. We'd be stumbling around in the dark. But the Word is light, and Jesus is the light of the world. And the Word of God lights our pathway. And it helps us all through life and all the way to heaven. Colorado Springs, Colorado. Now, here's an interesting letter. And I just really like this. She says, I was born and raised in Switzerland and still have a sister living there. She just turned 90. We have not had any contact since 2000. She really recently wrote to me and said, if you profess to be a Christian, why won't you forgive me? She says, I sent her flowers for her birthday, and she called me. We since had four lengthy phone calls. God answered my prayer. I never felt right about our split. We used to be so close. I just about cried when I read that letter. And so many times there's just some misunderstanding and you break relationships sometimes with your own relatives. And if you're in that pickle today, just take this story for this dear lady and just tell them you're sorry and try to patch it up. Family troubles sometimes are the worst, but that can be done and it isn't easy. There's joy in forgiving, and God will help you because he wants you to do it. Just remember all that God forgave you, so we have to forgive them, don't we? Virginia, Minnesota. A woman came into the waiting room. We got to talking about weather and such. Then she mentioned the Bible. I asked her which church she attended. She then said, the Christian Worship Hour. So that really cheered our heart. And we are glad because we are the people, a lot of people's church, they can't get out. Now, if you can get out, if you can get around, you try to find a church. Go where they're preaching the Bible. Don't just go if there's just a club or something like that. Some of these churches aren't very strong that way. But God always will have his witness. And it might be a little church, might be a big church. I don't know. Just go and find out. See if they believe the Bible is the Word of God. See if they believe Jesus is God. Not that he's the Son of God. He is the Son of God. But ask him, do you believe he's God? He's the second person of the Holy Trinity. And if he doesn't, get out of there. go someplace else. But and maybe you can find a friend and you can read the Bible with the friend. If you're shut in, it's impossible for you to get around, and or you have sick or you have infirmities or something like that. And so we're glad to be your church. We love you. We just preach the best way we know how, and we sing songs that we think will bless your heart. And so, yes, and the Holy Spirit is with us because it says two or three are gathered together in my name. I'll be in the midst of them. And so that's what we do, just preach the Bible, worship together all over the world, some of you in the persecuted church area, and you can't come out in the open too much. So, and you could have a little shortwave radio. Maybe you couldn't get a TV, and if you did, they wouldn't let you play it. But you can use that shortwave radio. Do you want to know something? We cover 90% of the world's population by shortwave radio. And that's why we just hope you'll write to us. Get your pencil and paper. I'll give you the address in just a minute. But got a couple of nice letters. Got some more nice letters. Here's Windham, Minnesota. Oh, and I got a good kick out of this one. This is a good one. She says, I live at Pine View Assisted Living here in Windham, Minnesota. There are 9 ladies, and we listen to your program. Today you spoke about Psalm 23. At our place, we have devotions. We talked about how personal Psalm 23 is. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That it will be satisfied. Then she says there are 17 personal pronouns in the 23rd Psalm. I had them count them and put their hand on their heart and say each one. Before we go to bed, we sing hymns and brighten the corner where you are. We go over the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Isn't that a beautiful letter? And they're talking about the 23rd Psalm. Now, this is what we have. We have what we call the new song, and it's a little Bible study, and we use it every month we'll have a new Bible study. And so this one's a 23rd Psalm, and she says they have 17 personal pronouns. They know more about the 23rd Psalm than I do. And so, see, it's beautiful. And so you like to get it, you get your pencil and paper, and you say, oh, I know, I don't know if I can afford the subscription. I don't have much money. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we are such wonderful people. We are really nice people. I just love us. And we send it free. Free, and we even pay the postage. Free and postpaid. How can you beat that? And so you write to us. Get your pencil and paper. I'll give it to you in a minute. But it's just so wonderful to hear these ladies. And having the new song, that's their Bible study. We have some people who use it for Sunday school. We have a lot of them, people in prisons that use a new song. And this month, by the way, this month, we're talking about the marks of a mature believer. How to be, are you a good Christian? Are you a strong Christian? And we have some little things to study, verses. It's all out of the Bible. It's not what I know, because I don't know much, very little, if anything. But the Bible, if I can preach the Bible, I can preach with authority just like I own the whole world because I'm backed up with the Word of God. That's our new song. Just keep that in mind. Here's Colorado Springs, Colorado. My grandson is visiting from Norway, and we listen to your program. My daughter in Norway gets you on the internet. Thanks for not retiring. I'm 86 and still working. Well, good for you if you can work. Just do it. You might have to slow down. I'm 96, and if I make it to June, I'll be 97, the Lord knows, and I don't jump rope anymore, and I don't ride bulls and things like that. So you just shift gears and slow down and take a different path, little speed, but keep going as long as you can go, as long as you can crawl. And when you can't do that anymore and you're in a sick bed or you're in a wheelchair or something, pray. And witness to everybody comes near you. Just witness. McDowell, oh, look at here. McDowell, Queensland, Australia. 8,400 miles from Aberdeen, South Dakota. And they write, thank you for preaching the truth about our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please also consider preaching about the necessity of the Holy Spirit in us in our daily walk with the Lord. God bless you all. And we're going to do that July 15th. I'm going to preach a sermon about the Holy Spirit and how dwelling within us. That's a little ways off, but we have to write these. We have to preach these a couple months early and takes time. But we do talk and believe in the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity. And when we accept Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. And we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And we're sealed. And that says the Holy Spirit is a seal. And we belong to God. And nobody's going to get our soul. Stamps that soul with the Holy Spirit. And the devil goes crazy, but he can't touch us. Oh, my, it's great. I love to preach the wonderful things. Queensland, Australia, 8,000 miles. One more, and this person writes, I have accepted Jesus into my heart. Please send follow-up. That means this person maybe made that prayer along with me that I just did at the first service. And so during the service, I'll give time. You can pray and just make that prayer, and this person is accepted Jesus into the heart. We get letters all the time. They says, I prayed along with you and accepted Jesus. I'm so happy now. I have peace. And when you accept Jesus, you may be thrilled and you may hear, just be thrilled to the pieces. On the other hand, nothing may happen. You just accept Jesus and he's there. But the peace will come. And after 96 years, yeah, the peace is there. I know I belong to Jesus. And I belong to Jesus because I accepted him as my Savior when I was 10 years old. And that settles that. So now then, if you'd like to write to us, if you want to get the new song, if you want to send a gift, and the Holy Spirit's telling you, send those folks some money. They can't pay on their good looks. And so send them some money. So you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. That's our organization. That's our ministry, Christian Worship Hour. And the box, post office box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota. You don't know where it is, and it doesn't matter where we are. We're here, South Dakota, 57402. Now, if you want to work a miracle, you can send us money over the air. Yes, here's how you do it. You get your computer, and I know many of you don't have it, but if you have a computer, I got one, but I don't know how to work it, see, so that's where I'm at. But you get on that computer and you get ChristianWorshipHour.com. ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's says donate. And if you're in Norway or if you're in Germany or we're in the Philippines, we hear from a lot of these places. And you just put in there, in your money, and we'll get it in American money, and we'll pay our bills. And that's a good way you can help us. We really need your help. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, I send him some money, and I don't know what they'll do with it. Maybe he's got to be 97. Maybe he'll use that money to buy himself a sports car. So there's my money. Well, we are a member of an organization, an international organization, and it is called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that means they audit our books. And when they audit our books, they drive you crazy. They're worse than having ants coming in. They're all over. They check everything. And they check to see every penny that we get and that's receipted and how it's spent. And we couldn't spend money on a sports car if we wanted to. Now, the sports car is about the last thing on earth that I would get. I'd probably get some Geritol or something like that if I had any extra money, not a sports car. But anyway, we need to have you help us, Christian Worship Hour. And all of you on a shortwave, I'm going to give it one more time, and then you can write to us. And it's a Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. God bless you. And now I'm going to pray for the offering because we assume we're going to get something. And Jan is going to play, and you pay as the Lord leads. the Lord doesn't lay it on your heart, we don't need your money. We just want the money that God sends us. Heavenly Father, thank you for supplying our needs now for almost 40 years, 39 years. Never failed us once. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. You add so much to our ministry here, and I know you bless a lot of people. Well, we're reading from Luke chapter 23, if you want to turn to that in your Bibles. And this takes place now. Jesus has been on the cross for 3 hours, and he's been on the hours of darkness and suffering and terribleness. And he made six cries from the cross, or six sayings. And now in this passage, he's going to give the last saying, the final saying. Luke 23, verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the spirit. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God. And he said, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. In our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Sudan. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. We just feel so sad when we see all that he went through. And he didn't deserve any of it. He was sinless. He had never committed a sin in thought and word and deed. And then there he is, the worst sinner of all, because he took the sins of the world, and he did it voluntarily, and he did it because he loved us. And he did it because if he wouldn't do it, we'd all be in hell, every last one of us. We are so indebted to the Savior, Jesus. What a beautiful Savior. And we pray in our service today, Lord, that we'll just honor him and love him more. And we pray in this service there'll be many that will come to Jesus because he died for them. He loves them, but they've got to come. If they don't come, he won't save them. They've got to come to him, so help them to come today. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Sudan. Some of them have been put to death, and some of those families have been all torn up, and they don't know where dad is or mom or the children, or they don't know what's happening. And I know, Lord, that you'll comfort them and you'll be with them and you'll have the angels watching over them. I know that. But they still are suffering. And so we pray that you just comfort their hearts. And Lord, as we see how they stand for you, may we all be challenged that we'll stand up too. And if needs be, we'll die for you too. No matter what, we'll never turn back. We put our hand to the plow and we'll never turn back. So bless us in this service. Have your way in every heart and every life. In Jesus' name, amen. And Hank's got a song, How Long Has It Been? God bless you, Hank.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
Can you call him your friend? How long has it been? Ooh.
Ah. How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? Has it been since you woke with the dawn and felt that the day's worth the living? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you?
He cares for you.
Thank you, Hank. And I want to ask that same question. How long has it been? Been a long time. If you drifted away, you got away from the Lord. Maybe you never did know Jesus and you want to know him. You know what you could do? You come back right now. Right now. And I'll tell you how you do it. You just get down on your knees if you can. If you can't, wherever you're at, and you just say, "Dear Jesus, I've wandered away. I've sinned against you, Lord." Just tell him that. If you want to, some bad sins you want to name them, just between you and Jesus. And then ask him to come into your heart and forgive you and wash away your sins. Use your own words. Just ask him to come into your heart. And then you promise to forsake those sins, because Jesus taught repentance. And repentance means turning. You turn away from the old ways and you start doing the new ways. You just don't go back again to the pig pen after you say, "Well, he's forgiven me all my sins. I'll go and I'll be a pig for a while again." No, 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 no. And you're not going to be perfect. You'll never be perfect, see, but you promise you'll give the best you can. And then you thank him. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's it. And you can talk to Jesus and then talk to him all the time. You need him. And he wants to talk to you. But if you got, you know, you got your snoot in the air, or maybe you got it down in the gutter. I don't know where you're at. But you just get back to Jesus. And that's where the joy is. We just pray, and that happens right now all over the world, wherever you are. Now, I've got some letters. We get the nicest letters. I just love them. And so I want to read some of these letters to you. The first one comes, let's see. I don't have my, I'm mixed up on my letters. I already read my letters, and so I'm going to preach my sermon. And because I have my notes here, and I'm setting my hanky, singing that good song, got all mixed up here, and I don't know where I'm at. But I'm right here to my sermon. And we're in our sermons, we've been talking last time, we preached about Christ and Him crucified. And now today we're going to talk about this where Jesus is on the cross, and He says, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And that's the seventh saying of the Lord. Now then, next Sunday, we're going to have Palm Sunday. And that's the Sunday when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, and they call Him, make Him the king of their king, Jesus, King of the Jews. And then the next Sunday, we're going to talk about how the resurrection from the dead and the great power in the resurrection. So we hope that you'll just pray for us and work with us, and we'll honor Jesus the best way we possibly can. The first cry that Jesus made on the cross was, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then there follow the other sayings. And He would say, for instance, His word to the dying thief came next. And the dying thief, the one that's trusting, one trusted and one didn't. And so this is to the trusting thief. Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then the provision is made for His mother. And the third cry of Christ, or the first saying of Christ from the cross, is for His mother. Woman, behold thy son. And then to John, behold thy mother. And so He provides for His mother while He's on the cross. And then the fourth cry was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the fourth cry is the saddest of them all, because He had to look into the face of an angry God. God has turned His back on Jesus Christ. And He's done that because He has our sins. And God cannot countenance sin. So that's the saddest of all of the cries. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then He comes with the fifth one, and that's the shortest cry of the Christ from the cross. And that is, I thirst. And that just comes out of the human need. He's a human being. He's God and He's man. And so He talks about how the shortest cry. And then the fifth one, the sixth one is, He talks about, it is finished. And that is a word of victory. That means the battle is done. It's all through. He's going to die now. And then He's going to be raised the third day. And the victory is His. And then the one we're looking at today, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus Christ had suffered from the hands of men for the last time. The enemy will never put their hand on Him again. They will never touch Him again. When you read about the Lord Jesus, you will find that they made Him carry His cross, and then they gambled for His gown. And then they nailed the spikes, and then they stood up the cross and let it stand, and it dropped into there, and it must have been horrible pain. And then the last thing happened was one of the Roman soldiers took that spear, pierced his side, and out gushed the water and the blood. That is the last time that enemy hands ever touched Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you a little secret. They will never touch Him again, not enemy hands. Be the hands of the friend, because the hands of the friends came. And here comes Joseph of Arimathea. He's a rich man, and he goes to Pilate, and he goes to the Roman governor Pilate, and he begs for the body of Jesus. He wants to give the body of Jesus. And so he takes that body, and this wonderful body, and then he takes it, and it takes it down from the cross, Joseph of Arimathea. And perhaps had other helpers, but he was the leader of it. It was loving, kind hands that takes this Lord Jesus. He wraps it in linen, and then they put the spices in, all kinds of spices, because that's the way the Jewish people embalmed. They embalmed by spices, and sometimes they would wrap in linen and wrap the spices in the body, and sometimes they might use 100 pounds of spices, and that's the way they embalmed. And so that's what they did with Jesus. And it was always friends, the hands of the friend. And then Jesus says at the last, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And so the Lord Jesus Christ dies to pay for our sins. And as you read these words, you see how calm Jesus is. He isn't raving, he isn't screaming, he isn't crying or anything else. He's just making a response, and he's calm, and he's just as plain as day, because it's a work that he's doing for us. He's going to the cross, and he's dying for us for our sins, and he's paying for our sins, and that's all been accomplished. And so that's all done now. And the Lord Jesus Christ talks about how that he's going to give his spirit now, and he commends his spirit into his Father's hands. And he points out in this, as he dies for us, that we have to have this wonderful Jesus, because the way to heaven has been made open now. Now we can go to heaven. You see, the people before the cross, before the resurrection, they didn't go to heaven as we know heaven. They went to the heart of the earth. And in the heart of the earth, they had a place of bliss and a place of torment. That's why you have the story of Lazarus and the rich man, and there's a gulf between them. That's not heaven. That's in the heart of the earth. We're not going to see the people in hell when we're in heaven. And so when Jesus raised from the dead, then all of those in the heart of the earth are taken to the face of the Lord up to heaven. And now when we die, a Christian dies, we go instantly to the very throne of God, to the face of God. And so the way has been opened. And he says, on another occasion, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Jesus warns us on the Sermon on the Mount, and he tells us that there are not going to be a lot, because the broad way leads to destruction, but there's that straight way that leads to glory and to heaven, and that's the way we need to take. Well, that way is open now. Jesus made that way. And Jesus was dying. When he came to die, he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." He was dying of his own choice. He isn't going to die until he's ready to die. If he wanted to, Jesus would have never had to die. He could have come down from the cross. You remember they said, "If you be Christ, if you be God, why don't you come down from the cross?" Jesus said, "I could call legions of angels. I could call millions of angels around here to help me." And if Jesus wanted to, he could have come from that cross and nobody could have stopped him. Nobody could touch him. But so this was his own divine election. It was his own choice. He decided, "I'm going to pay for those sins of the world with my own blood on the cross." And he stayed there until he had accomplished all these seven sayings, and everything is all done. And now the blood has been shed, and now he gives up his spirit. You know, there are people that when they die, a lot of times Christian people will say, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And I think that's a nice thing to say, and a nice way to live. But yet you have to be careful, because we really don't have any choice when we go. Jesus had his choice. But when these people will say, I dismiss my spirit, or I give up my spirit to the Lord, but they have to die when God calls them. But Jesus never would have had to die. He could have come from that cross, but he stayed on that cross, and he died on that cross to pay for our sins, of all our sins. And you know, there, I was reading just the other day, and there's a statement in the gospel, in the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews, it tells us, Hebrews says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." Jesus counted it a joy to go to the cross, because he loved us so much. And he could see down the ages of time, those that would come. Here they come here and over here and over here. And all along the way, people are coming. He was for the joy. He did it rejoicing. Matthew Henry writes sadly of the event. "He dismissed his own spirit. He dismissed his spirit. No one took it from him. He gave up his precious life. No one robbed him of it. No power on earth or heaven or hell could require the life of the Son of God. He never would have died were it not for his own doing and his own passion in his own love. And so this, he talks about that. Jesus tells it, it's my choice. I'm doing it because I want to. For instance, in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, he says, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And he's telling us, I'm making the way open for you. And I'm doing this because I love you. And sometimes people say, talk about the death of Christ kind of like it was an afterthought. That is, here he has people on earth, Adam and Eve, and they have a perfect paradise, and they're innocent, and they talk with God, and they talk to God, and they see God, because they're in a spirit, they're in such a way that they have no sin, and there's no barrier. But then sin enters into the world. And then God says, oh, I made Adam and Eve, and I made him just perfect. But look what they did. They sinned, and they can't go to heaven. Now what are we going to do? Then Jesus says, well, I tell you, I'll go to the cross. I'll pay for their sins so they can go to heaven. Nothing like that at all. Nothing like that at all. We are told that Jesus Christ knew he was appointed for before the foundation of the world that he would go to the old rugged cross. When Adam and Eve sinned, that wasn't any surprise to God. God is never surprised. He knows everything. He knows all the future. There isn't a thing that he doesn't know. And so when he looked from that, made that foundation of the world, before it was ever formed, before Adam and Eve were ever made, he knew that they would sin and Jesus would die. What a beautiful picture of the Savior coming to save us from our sins. And so the wonderful Lord. And you know, you read about the story of the Mount of Transfiguration. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was Moses and Elijah. And they talked about what they talked about. They talked about the decease that he would accomplish. That is, they were talking about his death. And so this wonderful Jesus is all the way through. It's before the world is formed, it's even made. And then it's carried on to when Jesus is born. And there's somebody that has a picture painted. And it's Mary. And she's young Mary. And she's slender. And she's holding the baby Jesus in her arms. And the sun is shining. And on the floor makes a picture of a cross. Jesus lived in the light of that cross all the time. Every day he lived, he knew there would be that cross. And he talked about, mine hour has not yet come. Well, it hadn't come because this time, his hour was the cross. And when that time came, he says, the time has come now. And he revealed himself and he went and gave himself over to the Pharisees and over to the scribes and the priests and all, and they crucified him. So this wonderful Jesus commends his spirit and gives his spirit because it's been all planned and all purposed. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he said this, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Now, when you read those seven sayings of Jesus, he calls it God Father in the first saying, and he calls God Father in the last saying. But when he talks about my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He doesn't say my Father. He says my God. So he has God as his Father. And then when he takes those sins, and God can't look at him, he looks at him, he can't call him Father because he's in his sins. And then he pays for the sins and he calls him Father. And that's a whole world. You can't call God Father until you have Jesus Christ. You got to go to Jesus first. You can call God your creator. You can call God your maker, but you can't call him your Father. Because Jesus said, you are the father of the devil. In other words, until we accept Jesus Christ, God is just God, the creator, and he becomes our father when we become his child, when we receive him as our savior. And that's why in the Christian worship hour, we're always putting the emphasis on your need to come to Jesus. You can't call him father, you just call him God. But my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But when that thing is paid and settled, Father, into thy hands. And you can call him Father only when you call have him as your Savior. And so Jesus says, I'm standing at your heart. I want to come into your heart. And I want to live in your heart. And I want you to become a child of my Father. And I want to be your Savior. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. I will come in if you ask me into your life. Revelation 3, verse 20. But you have to make that move. And maybe right now, some of you are thinking, oh, I do want Jesus. Maybe this is the first time you ever heard about Jesus being a Savior. Maybe you've heard it a lot of times. You've turned him down so many times, you do it really easy. You don't even have a problem with it. And so you have to just look to Jesus. And Jesus says, I want to come in, but I can't come in because there's no doorknob on the outside. Holman Hunt painted the picture of Jesus' heart's door. And when you see that picture, there is no knob on the outside. It's only on the inside. And you have to open that door. And if you open that door, he says, I will come in. You say, I don't know how to open that door. All you do is you do, if your neighbor knocks on the door and you open the door and say, come in. And so Jesus is knocking and you just open that door and ask him, please come into my heart and take away my sins, and you'll be born again. And this wonderful thing when you come to die, and we'll all die unless Jesus comes again. Now, maybe we'll have the rapture of the church. Jesus will come, and he'll come first for his church. And when he comes for his church, all the Christians will be taken up, and the dead in Christ will be taken up. Paul talks about that in Thessalonians. He says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, that's all of those Christians, those martyrs, all of the people that died before he came, those that are dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Some of us will never die. You know, Enoch never died, and Elijah was taken up with a chariot. And we'll be taken up when the Lord comes again. It's called the rapture of the church. And when you come to the book of Revelation, you'll read about the tribulation period. And you'll read about the horrible things and the mark of the beast and all of those awful things. The church is taken out before any of those things happen. He spares the church and he takes us to be with himself. And so when we come to die, if we do die, maybe he'll come before we die. But if we die, we can say, dear Jesus, dear Heavenly Father, I give you my spirit. But you can't give of that spirit unless you have Jesus. Now, if you've prayed to receive Jesus and you ask Jesus to come into your heart, then you write to us. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I hope that we'll hear from those of you on internet. But those who are on shortwave radio and those on television, and you tell us, yes, I made that prayer. And if you write to us, we'll send you literature to help us. Wherever you are in the world, we'll send you literature. If it's email or if it has to be regular mail, we'll send you some literature to get you started in the Christian life. And in the meantime, you get out to Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of John. So now we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray that you'll speak to multitudes of people, that they'll come to you and be born again. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll just help them to know in their heart, to believe your word, that whosoever will call in the name of the Lord will be saved. Dear Lord, we want to pray for the shut-ins today. And we pray for those on beds of sickness. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for the young people, Lord, of some awful tests that they have with the drugs and all of the rest. Help them to find you as their Savior. And you'll give them strength and help to carry on so they can win the day and win the battle. Bless the little children as they watch. May they come to Jesus. And we'll give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So one time more, especially for us shortwave people, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Send along your letter, send along your gift, and next week we'll see you, and we'll be back to worship our wonderful, wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, everyone. And while all of you could call your friends, maybe they can call, maybe they can call your friends. And if everybody would talk and tell people, why, we are double our group in one time, single, overnight, we could do that. So we're counting on you, and you can count on us. And in Jesus' name, we'll carry the cross to Christ all over the world. In the Savior's name, we pray. God bless you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.